Anyway, we're going to be in Genesis. We've been in Genesis. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Jacob's journey to Egypt is 46. We're going to do a little checking around in the background just to kind of give us some context of what's going on. But Joseph, you know, we just love Joseph, dude. He's like all jacked up and tacked up, and he was in jail, and then he was freed up. He sees the brothers. He finally has the angst of having to see them again after all the years being gone, and he's looking at his brother for a first time. We're doing fast forward here. He sees his brother. He can't handle it. He has to bolt as the governor, number two man, just to compose himself and then come back in and talk to his brother. Others. And finally, he spills the beans and says, dude, don't freak out. It's me. What you meant for harm, God meant for good. Yeah, I love that Romans 8:28, right? All things for his good. Just kind of as a paraphrase. All things. He can take every situation and turn for his good. And I'm so thankful for that because it's something that I can stand on. It's something that I can bank on, you know? If I'm going through a tough time, usually now I'm just going, Lord, just show me what you want out of this. Show me what you want out of this. It looks too tough. It may be too tough for others, but show me what you want out of this. I want you to think about the dad, the context in chapter 45. You know, they're being told, go back and tell dad it's okay. Take carts. There's going to be plenty of food so the women, and Pharaoh said this, so the women and children don't have to walk. Let them ride. Get them enough food to get there and feed them and then come back as well. Enough for the livestock that's coming back and put your 130-year-old daddy in there. You like traveling? I don't know what it's like to have 130-year-old bones. You got 130-year-old bones, that traveling can be kind of challenging, I would imagine. But they got to go back and tell dad, and dad, he probably looks older than 130 because of the lament of his son being gone, Joseph, right? And here comes the boys again, and he's like, what is this caravan coming? It's like, dad, Joseph's alive and he's the governor of Egypt. You know they were spilling that out, right? He's the governor of Egypt and everything's going well. And he's like, what? 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 What's this fog? It's too much, right? Can you imagine the boys? Because Joseph told them, he says, don't freak out on the way over there. Just chill out and it's okay. You know they got to tell dad. The last time they spoke of Joseph in that type of manner, you know what was going on, right? They were handing in the coat of many colors, the coat of many blood. He got killed. He got taken out by a wild animal of some sort, and dad was like, ah! He's just brokenhearted. And for nobody could console him and bring him back around. And now they've got to go face that story because it was a lie to the sky. From their hearts all the way to the Lord. They lied that thing up. They lied from the ground up. And they told them a lie. And now they had to tell the story. You know? We talked a lot about forgiveness. You know, that trusting God with the outcome of forgiveness. As we always talk about trusting God with the outcome of forgiveness. That way we can go ahead and forgive. And we want justice, but it'll never be meted out on our terms. Well, I'll tell you what, when you trust God with forgiveness, that forgiveness is dealt with in God's manner. Vengeance is mine, so saith the Lord, I'll repay. And they brought that lie to him, and now they're bringing the truth to him. All those years, 15, all those years, Joseph was 17 at the time. Now he's 32, he's the governor of Egypt, and he's been through prison the whole time. And dad, what was he, 115? Now he's a buck 30. That lament, that old man lament. If you ain't a buck 15, you ain't old. He's old man lament. He's like, ah. And you know how it is, the longer you love your kids deep because you had so long to love them. You know, it's sad when a child loses their parent early. You know, and it's sad when a child loses their parent late. Early, you never had the time with them. Late, because you had all the time with them. And vice versa. And now they're bringing that lie to truth. That burden is coming off of them. The 10, it's coming off of them. They live the lie. Because even though Reuben said he shouldn't have done it, he didn't overcome the lie back then. Because he told them, again, when they found out that it was Joseph, prior to finding out it was Joseph the governor, he says, see, I told you that would have come back on him, talking about Joseph in that manner. But it was still, he was part of the lie. All that's coming off, Dad. Can you see him? Can you see it? Them walking in the tent, you're a fly on the tent. They open up the door and they're coming in. They're like, Dad, yeah, we got to tell you something. Where's Benjamin? You know, that's the first thing they're thinking. Like, where's Benjamin? We've lost Joseph. We lost Simeon. And now, where's Ben? Ben's jamming. Where's Ben? Well, Dad, you know what? Joseph's in Egypt. And he's alive. And he's the governor. Joseph's in Egypt. Have you ever gotten news that you can't process? Have you ever gotten news that you're just sitting there going, what? Have you? This is interactive. No? Yes? Yeah? I have had news like that, and you're just kind of like, what? What? Sometimes it's not good news. Sometimes it's bad news. Yeah, I had plenty of deaths, very young along the way. I had a nephew that got killed in the war, and you're just like, what? Because he's 19, you know? They're punks. This is good news. Dad, he's a buck 30 going, Joseph, did you notice in Scripture it never said that he tore him up? He was so happy that Joseph was alive. I told you the story about the two women that didn't get along for 52 years, right? And they were sisters, and they were only the sisters. And then they finally re-met each other 52 years later in their mid-80s. Early and mid-80s, and they finally reconciled 52 years, and it was as if the 52 years accounted for nothing. It's the same with Jacob. As the 15 years happened, that lament, my son is there. I'm telling you, a buck 30 on a rough cart is going to feel like, I don't know, some beautiful pillow ride, an air ride suspension, because he has the prospects of seeing his son. And they're in Canaan. So let's just pick up in the tail end of 45 Genesis. Father, please, your word as you see fitting. yeah, let's just go into 18. Then Judah came near to him and said, oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word to my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant Pharaoh for, oh, wait a minute, sorry, my bad. Try it again. That was, I was on section 44, chapter 44. 45, 21. And we're having the carts being brought. So the sons of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them the carts according to the command of Pharaoh. And he gave them provision for the journey. He gave all to them, to each man, changes of garments. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garment. And he sent to his father these things: 10 donkeys loaded with goods of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and food for the father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Isn't that grace extended? Dude, you threw me in jail. You bloodied up. You lied to Dad. You lied about the business for your own gain. Yada, yada, yada. Don't let all that stuff get to you, bro. Just go. Don't worry about it. God's got this. And 25, then they went up to Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob, their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he's the governor over the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still. Boom, boom. Right? Think of that. Because he did not believe them. And 27, but then he told them all the words that Joseph had said to them. And he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry them, him. The spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. He's excited again. It's not happening. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Isn't that great? Do you have somebody that you thought's expired or that you haven't seen in a long time, and then you get to see him again? You're like, oh, there's sweetness. Maybe you do a family trip back, if you had a family worth going to see, and you wanted to see him, and you got to see him, and it's just really great to do so, right? This is a death, lie, truth, alive. Oh, I don't know about y'all, but I can see that stuff. And obviously, I can't smell his breath. I don't know what his clothes smell like. They all probably smell like sheep in a tent and hadn't had a bath and can't brush teeth and probably have none. And all of that, right? I can't get that part. But I, as a father, can see that. I have a daughter that's estranged to me, some of you know, for many years now. So I haven't seen her for many years now. And I long for her. But that's just the way this is. That's how this horse rides. But I will tell you, she's on my Andrew list. She's on my, well, not on this one, but she's on my Andrew list. And I hope she becomes yours. And her name is my daughter. So 46. So Israel took his journey. Israel is Jacob. Took his journey with all he had, and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to God, the God of his father. So watch this. The thing is this. Jacob has not had a pattern of taking things before the Lord before he does something. He just does not have that pattern, right? He has the pattern of just going out and doing it. Yeah, he still got the blessing of the Lord because it was promised to Abraham, it was promised to Isaac, it's promised to him, right? But he hasn't done like Daddy Abe. I mean, G-Paw Abe, he would like go to the Lord for everything. Isaac would go before the Lord. Jacob, whatever. He's a snot-nosed kid in that sense, in my view. You know, when somebody makes money, they've worked hard to make that money. And then they'll give it to the next generation, and they'll kind of work hard, but that third generation given to them, typically it's spoiled. We're painting a bit of a broad brush here, but typically that third generation didn't have to work for any of it, and a little bit spoiled. Even though the promises was given to Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob, Jacob didn't do this. This is a first. He's a buck 30, and he's coming to know that never too late, and he's offering sacrifices to him, thinking that he's probably going to come back to Canaan. But he's sacrificing in Beersheba, right? The spring of the agreement where Abimelech king was had an agreement with Abraham, as we read. Abimelech's son had an agreement with Isaac's son, and that's a third time that one in this tribe is making sacrifice to the Lord. You know, it's kind of like the Christian. There are men and there are women that will console the Lord on, or not console, but seek counsel on the Lord on every single decision they make. There are Christians that never even consider the Lord until it's like, help me, because I'm in trouble. You know, the help me because I'm in trouble probably should never come up because you're seeking the Lord in the midst of that, right? But we're human, we make mistakes. But it's not an excuse. Well, I'm only human. You know what? Strive for excellence, not perfection. Strive for excellence. I mean, you run a race. You heard what Paul said. When you run a race, you're striving for the line. Dude, put aside the world. Put this stuff. Well, the world, yeah, dude, Satan's your dad if you're not considering the Lord. Well, that's kind of harsh. Well, yeah, but it's true. Can you pull up slide John 8, 42, 47? See what the Lord has to say on this. You know, when we're sitting here going before the Lord, we got challenges. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word, right? You are of your father, the devil. Hang right there. When you're coming to your own counsel, you're coming to your own flesh. If you're going to the word and the counsel of godly men and women, you're coming before prayer or situations. That's how God speaks in all those four different scenarios. When you're coming before the Lord to seek out his wisdom for what your next steps are, then you're of the Lord. And just for what that's worth, whenever you're not going for the Lord, everything else by default is Satan and becomes a fatherly influence. You are of the father of the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, and that's his language, by the way. Right now we're listening in English. Satan speaks in lies. He's a liar. He speaks from his own resources. That's his native language, is lying. for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Is there any more to that? Oh, good. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. And I just go, Jacob, all these years, it's been like this. Christian, every time we go before the Lord and don't take him into consideration, it's this for us. It's harsh, but it's true. The facts are the matter is we need to consider God in every single decision, even your clothing. That sounds like legalism. It's not. It's just practicing obedience. He's going to let you wear whatever you want. Lord, what would you have me wear? Red or blue? Chubby guy or skinny guy? For me, it's chubby guy. Always. We'll have to get beyond that. Shoes on, shoes off. How do you want me to go before this, Lord? I come to this stop sign. Which way do you want me to turn? Sometimes I do that, not to test God, just to practice obedience. Lord, which way do you want me to turn? And if I turn to the left, and I sense I should have gone to the right, whatever that looks like, the opposite, whichever way I went, typically I run into some kind of snag. Could be traffic. If I'd gone the way that I sensed that God was telling me to go, works out every time. Are you studying emotions and senses? No, you just get an impression of the Lord. He doesn't say, Dave, turn left. He doesn't do that. Not for me anyway. Maybe to you guys. I like taking in the counsel of God. I love seeing Jacob finally do it. You don't have to burn incense and goats to get there. Just go before the Lord. Then God spoke in the visions of the night. You know, those are like night dreams. They're awake. Visions are awoken time of hearing or seeing from the Lord. My grandson says, well, that's kind of oxymoronic to have being awake and then having dreams too. And I said, yes, it is, but that's how God also does. You've had those dreams where you woke up and you're still in the dream, kind of like that. It's a night vision, you know? And evidently, Jacob needed it. Evidently, he needed the reassurance, or why would have God done that, right? He goes, Jacob, Jacob. And he says, here I am. That's our role. Whenever God calls, we need to be the here I am in the here I am role, right? So he says, here I am. And so he said to him, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt. Because there was a lot of troubles down there, right? Both dad and granddad had troubles down there. I ain't going down there, more trouble. Don't fear, go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation. I will go down with you. Stop there. Don't ever have to pray for God to be with you, because he said he'll be with you to the end. Lord, be with us today. No, I'm acknowledging that you're with us today is the better prayer, because he's already said he'd be with us until the end of the age. But look here, he's promising. He says, I will go down with you. God's going to be with you every step of every trip. When you walk through that exit sign, door, and head out, he's with you. He's with you right now. He's been with you this morning. He was with you when you were picking stuff out of your eyes and brushing your teeth. He was with you the whole way. He's going to be with you when you go out to eat, to go to a friend's house later, when you're talking to somebody about Jesus Christ. All the above, he is with you through each and every moment of that. When you see will and shall in the Old Testament, it's a promise. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Do you know what that means? You ever see where they put their fingers over their eyes? When suddenly, in Hollywood, they just go like that, and that person goes, you know, and they're closing their eyes. You know, years ago, they'd put heavy coins on their eyes to keep their eyelids closed. You know, I love Hollywood. Once they're closed, they stay closed. They don't stay closed. They kind of move themselves back open, right? But meaning that your son's going to close your eyes. You're going to be with your son when you go on. And when I bring you up, it ain't back up to Canaan. This is the last trip. Last call, y'all. Right? Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones and their wives, in the carts with Pharaoh, which Pharaoh had sent carrying them. So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and they went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him, his sons and daughters, his sons' sons, his daughters, and his sons' daughters, and all the descendants he brought into Egypt with him. Here were the names of the children of Jacob, of Israel, which is Jacob. Jacob and his sons who went to Egypt, Reuben, which was Jacob's first. The sons of Reuben were Hanoch, Palu, Hezron and Carmi. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, Shaul, and the son of the Canaanite women. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah were Er, Onan, Shelah, Perez, Zerah, and Ur. He had two sons that died there in Canaan. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Issachar were Tola, Puva, Job, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun were Sered, Elon, Jahalil. There were the sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob at Padam Aram, and his daughter Dinah or Dinah. All of the persons, his sons and his daughters, were 33. The sons of Gad were Ziphion, Haggai, Zunai, Shunai, Esbon, Arodi, Ariel. The sons of Asher were Jimna, Ashua, Ishuai, Barai, Beria, and Sarai, Sarah, and they were the sisters. And the sons of Barai were the Hebar and Malkiel. The sons of Zilpah were Laban and Leah, his daughter, and she bore to Jacob 16 persons. Wow. And the sons of Jacob, Rachel, Jacob's wife, were Joseph and Benjamin. And to Joseph's in the land of Egypt were Manasseh and Ephraim, and whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. The sons of Benjamin were Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, and Naaman, He, Rosh, Mupim, Hupim, and Ard. Man, these are some cool names. I'd love to give you all the names and what they mean, but that ain't happening today. So there we are. The sons of Rachel, who were born to Jacob, 14 plus persons in all. Now the son of Dan was Hushim, and Naphtali were Jaziel, Guni, Jezar, and Shelaim. And these were the sons of Bilhah, who Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, and she bore to the son to Jacob 7 persons in all. All the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt came from his body, besides the sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph, who were born to him in Egypt, were 2 persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70 total. 66 on the trip, right? You guys ever planned a trip with a couple of people? Maybe you and your bride, you and a family member. How's that going for you? You kind of got that figured out? All right, try about 10 more. How's that going? Okay, how about, I remember one time we rode some vans out, and I carried the people, and my buddy carried a cargo van filled with all their luggage. I had the people. I should have had the cargo van, because all I could hear were the 12 people in the passenger seats complaining about my driving. And or what, they were just had nervous energy because they were flying to Israel to learn more about the love of the Lord. Ah! And I didn't have to go with them for 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever they went. You know, I just got off having 2 weeks with my grandson. It was simple. It was just he and I. We didn't have to go to committee to figure everything out. Obviously, these guys have a nomadic way and used to traveling. That's a given. But try to get 66 people to do anything at one time. I will tell you, a good leader can handle a team of volunteers. They have no vested interest in doing anything other than volunteering. If you can oversee volunteers, then good. Good on you. Because those are the kind of leaders I like to be around. Yeah, you can be leaders at all. I didn't say that was the only leader. It's just those are the ones I like being around. Because they understand how to get the most out of people. And obviously, it's by the way of the Lord. But to be able to move that many people that far of a distance, knowing you're going from Canaan down to Geshen, which is to labor. That means to labor. Anyway, to go that far to a new land during a famine, and then you have the prospects of seeing Joseph, and there could have been some of the eyes rolling, oh, Joseph, yeah, everybody's going to bow down to you. Well, we already saw that they bowed down 3 times in the scripture earlier over the last 2 weeks ago. Long trip, a lot of time to think. Don't you know, Dad? He's just sitting on that thing going, come on, let's just go another mile tonight. Let's just go another mile. Just one more mile. Come on, we can do it. Throw somebody else in. I'll walk for a while. Obviously, that's extra biblical. But wanting to be there with everybody. 28. Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out the way to the land of Goshen. Now, I want to stop here for a quick second. When you hear that it's said that men do not ask for directions ever? Lie, because it's right here. He had to ask for directions. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel, and he presented himself, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck for a good while. These are tears of joy. I have to tell you, the older I get, the easier I am to tears. We saw an amazing movie yesterday. I can't remember the name of it. It's only going to be in the theaters for about a week. I'll send it out on email. If we don't have your email, fill out a card, set it in the giving box back there, and I'll get it to you. But amazing, amazing story of just love. And I'm sitting there just weeping through the whole thing because it's a very, very, one of the more powerful stories. It's put out by PureFlix, which is a movie, a faith-based movie-making company. They have PureFlix.com, which is like Netflix. For like $8 a month, you get faith-based movies coming to you. Anyway, they had a really good show there. But that weeping comes to me a lot easier now, you know. And I think the older you get, that you just appreciate things a lot more, at least for me. God's breaking down the heart of hardness into a heart that's a lot more supple and just desiring after people. Seeing all my family on the road, it was just great. But I can only imagine what this would be like if my daughter ever came back and I would see her and she came back whole. See, because right now she's kind of dead in her decisions. But to have her come back whole, he has been dead, and for him to come back whole is a good thing. And that weeping and that weeping and that joy, I mean, just everything that has been a burden on him has come out during this time. Everything that's been a burden on him. Then he sent Judah before him. I said that already. Joseph made it. I said that already. 30. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I've seen your face, because you're still alive. My life is full now. I've done everything I'm going to do. I see you now. You're alive." And God grants him more time, obviously. Then Joseph said to his brothers and his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, 'My brothers are and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be when Pharaoh calls to you, say, "What's your occupation?" You shall say, "Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from your youth, even till now, both we and our father, also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." You get that? You know, Jesus, when he was born, the angels, you know, they spoke. Who they speak? Shepherds were the first. They were the outcasts. They were the ones that weren't in social circles. I'm a cattleman. Down in Texas, we raise black Angus. To have goats or sheep or sheep herders or even people that raise pigs, it's like, no, cows, right? And I hate it that God calls us sheep. I just hate it. You know, because why don't you call us cows? At least they're stupid and forget you in 3 days. Sheep forget you in minutes, you know. But they're an abomination. They're detestable to the Egyptian, right? So it kind of falls in sync with what we saw when Christ was born, kind of bouncing forward and aft on the timeline. In 47, then Joseph went, told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds, all they possess have come from the land of Canaan, indeed are in the land of Goshen to labor." And he took 5 men among the brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What's your occupation?" They said, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." And they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Pharaoh." Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your fathers and brothers dwell in the best of the land, and let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock." I love this one piece because he steps out of the abomination clause of the day-to-day people that would overlook them. He's like, hey, you've been doing this your whole life. Evidently, he doesn't have good enough people to take care of his flock, because he's looking for these guys to come in and put them head over his flock. And this is Pharaoh speaking. And now he sees a little more identity with what's going on with Joseph, who's been his right hand for X amount of years. Then Joseph in 7 brought his father, and Jacob set him before Pharaoh. Jacob and set before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of my years and my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of my years of my life." Why few and evil? Few because his father and his grandfather lived way longer than him. 178, 180, Abraham the longer, I think. See if I write numbers down. Nah, I didn't. Well, you got it. Somewhere in that circa area. But the evil, there's tons of evil. Most of it's self-inflicted. You remember what he had to go through to get Rachel. He had to go through Leah to get there. And just the lies and just stuff along the way that just happens. And they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of the pilgrimage. So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them the possessions in the land of Egypt and the best of the land in the land of Ramesses. And Pharaoh commanded, then Joseph provided his fathers and brothers and all father's household with bread according to the numbers in their families. Man, they were taken care of. You know, some of the stuff that we come from in this is that we seek the Lord in all we do. He takes care of us. I think we kind of tend to forget that he's a good dad. I think we kind of forget that he's in the business of overseeing us. Whether you grew up with a father that sucked or you had a father that was great, it doesn't matter. Your best dad is not better than our Father in heaven who takes care of us today by the power of his Holy Spirit, obviously. He's an amazing dad. He's an amazing dad, and he cares so desperately about us. You know, when we were in the men's yesterday, we were talking about kind of along these same lines, why in the heck would we want to go after the wisdom of Satan, because that would be our flesh and our only thinking, as opposed to going before the Father and getting the wisdom, as we spoke about a little over a year ago when we were in Genesis 1 and 2. We're sitting there getting the wisdom of the person that created everything. He created all your cells. He's in nanotechnology and macro technology and macro development. He's in nano development. The ability for you to listen to a language, assimilate it, and create emotion, good or bad or indifferent. He thought of all that. When you get frustrated with somebody, he thought up anger or frustration. All of it. When you feel love, when you feel a sense of joy, when you feel a sense of home and hearth, all the above, he thought all that stuff up. And you can't even see love. It's like air. You can't see air. Holy Spirit. You can't see Holy Spirit. You can see the results of love, the verbs. You can see the results of the wind blowing, the tumbleweed of the leaves to the air. You can see the Holy Spirit move when people are getting baptized or other things that happen along the way, which is countless. Or when you're getting corrected or chastened. He's a good dad. I want to go to him for everything. Because even in the worst of the famine, did you know his people never hungered? They never suffered? They were still able to travel to Egypt and back and forth. He still took care of them. Dad never stops taking care of us. You know, when I've been homeless to house full, I've always had food in my belly. I've always had transportation. It usually is shoes, you know. My feet work really good. I got a little hitch in my giddy up, you know, when I walk, but that's all right. There's about a trillion other parts that are working just fine. You don't see my cells going through right now. They're pumping through fine. You know, I've told you before, I met a lady who, she got to the age where she finally said, "I'm not talking about things that don't work. I'm happy about the things that do." I love her perspective, you know. Like my father-in-law used to say, first father-in-law used to say, he says, "No such thing as bad weather. It's just different forms of good weather." It really is all in the attitude. Chuck Swindoll, thank you very much. We want to come to him. Why do we want to have the Lord? Because we want to have his heart. We want to have his nature. When we say in the name of Jesus we pray, it's in the nature of Jesus that we pray. All the love, all the grace, all the mercy. Joseph is an excellent human example of Christ. He went through his time. We'll give a litany on that here in a couple of weeks. He sold out for the Lord. And that's our goal as we wrap. It is just to be sold out for him. Dave, you talk about that all the time. Well, we must need to. Because sold out means out. There's nothing of you left in. When we're sold out for him, dude, It's just the best. Well, your pastor should be that way. Yeah, well, it's that way before us, pastor. Well, it's just Dave, JD, just Dave. Some of the folks call me that here because it's like, hey, Pastor Dave. It's like, just Dave's fine. JD. I don't want to lose sight of him. I don't want to lose sight of what he's doing. I don't want to lose sight of the things he's got for us today. You know, I was driving in this morning, pre-sunrise, and I was just, Lord, thank you. You know, thank you got me up off the bed. Thank you that just for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity just to be in your presence, Lord. Whatever you want to do with us today, that's fine. From one service to the next, if you want to have a song set, you guys can go ahead. If you have a song set, fine. If you want to change the whole thing for second service, fine. It's got to be fine. If the day changes, the wind blows, the weather comes in, the weather goes on, it doesn't matter because you know what's going to happen? I'm going to praise him still. We're going to praise him still. And the thing is this, we got to get real used to praising him. Why? Because we're praising ourselves if we're not. In our doom, in our gloom, or our self-inflicted, self-imposed righteousness. It's not where he'd have us be. Not where I want to be at all. At all. I don't want to see you guys there either. I want to see you guys striving for excellence. I want to see you guys striving to spend time with him. Just fall in love with him with desperation. God, I've known the Lord for X amount of years. It feels like hundreds of years. Dude, if you're even having to say that, you must have like fallen out of him in some sense as far as the emotional attachment to him being genuine and sweet and caring. Why would you want to be anywhere else? Why? Why? Being in dad's home, being in his heart, being in his the hearth of his home, I don't know how people do it without him. He's such a loving father. He's so caring. Lord, I guess we just got to start thanking you again. Because that's the first part of adoration. It's just thanking you. Thanking you for breath. Thanking you for crumbs or a whole biscuit. Thanking you that I even have the ability to stick a key in the car and turn it and it starts. Or that I can literally text somebody and it goes from here, bounces up to outer space and bounces back down and runs through a series of things and to get to somebody's phone to say, I love you. Or here's the scripture that was on my heart today. The simple things again. We get caught up in so many things that have nothing to do with the essence of you. And I really do, Lord, and just on this day, I think that it has a lot to do and hinged firmly within the absence of thankfulness. And Father, would you just, throughout this day, give us the heart of Jacob, knowing he gets to see his son again, that we'll have that heart of knowing that we get to see you again today. And I mean, even an hour away from you can feel like 15 years if we're so committed to the world and not you. So we get to be in your presence. And it's so awesome. Lord, I just want to take my shoes off and go jump in a cold river and praise you in the midst of it. Wake me up. I don't want to be the same guy. I don't want to go to this is my routine. Break me from it, Lord. I want to be the guy that is constantly praising you, praying to you, seeking out others to be like you, discipling other people to be like you, that they can enjoy the same water you have for us to drink, that thing that takes the parched mouth and lubricates it. Father, a desperation with you and for you without angst. You give us this communion. Every week we get to be, we have communion Sunday every single week to be reminded about the nails in your wrist, the nails in your heels, the lashes across your body, the thorns in your brow. And it reveals your love, Lord, because we're able to be taken from this miry ugliness, this clay, and you break us down. You formulate us to a usable. You put us in fire to harden us to be a usable device, to be filled with you and poured out, and filled with you and poured out, and continuum the same. And then you rose. You came back and talked to a boatload of people, brought them over to you, and booked out of here. And we're waiting for you to come back. And until that time, we stay the course. The Father, the love. Oh, my God. Don't let me be a prune-faced Christian. We have you. This is a joy-filled time. Communion's here. The crackers are gluten-free for your gluten challenge. It's juice, not wine. If you have anything that's going on that's an abutment between you and the Lord, just do business with him right now. Confess it, 1 John 1:9. If, and I prefer to say as we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, he is just, he's faithful, and he'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we get to come in and partake with him. Yeah.